don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Hi and welcome to the near post. We are talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. I am Patrick Bordier, and I am Patrick Bordier. My mother listened to the radio show the other day, said that I wasn't saying my last name correctly. Got very annoyed at
that
me.
That you weren't saying your own name properly.
Well, she said too much of an Australian accent and needed to...
Bordier?
Yeah, Bordier, and needed to pronounce properly. So
I like your mum. I'm prepared to run with that.
Yeah, there you go. Patrick Bordier. And with me in the studio is Nicholas Cumston and Nick Ames.
Apparently, from the part of England that Cumston's from, it's pronounced Cumston.
Is it?
Yeah.
Cumston.
Seriously.
All right. Oh, I believe it. And Nick Ames?
It's actually pronounced Ames. Ames? Apparently, it is French in origin, so I've been told.
Ames. Well, all right. Okay. Yeah,
there you go.
Well, fantastic. Well, it's all names today. Coming up in the next half hour, we've got all the news from the Asian Champions League. We've got an A-League wrap and the National Competition Review, which has been released by FFA. Now, if you have an inquiry, you simply like to tell us how much you'd like the show, you can do so on our email, nearpostradio, all one word, @gmail.com. Alternatively, you can catch the podcast on www.nearpost.blogspot.com and on iTunes, as well as halftimeheroes.com.au. So we're out and about in the world of interwebs and modern technology. There's no excuse not to get us. And for those lucky folk listening to us around the streets of Canberra, we salute you and we suggest that you put a coat on because it's quite cold.
Very much so. It is. It's fascinating to see the range of correspondence we do get through our Gmail account.
How are we going? We mainly focus on penis size and gambling. Are we have any variation on emails?
We have had a bit of variety. I mean, there is the occasional beast of football correspondence, but for some reason we've been contacted by a Canadian pharmacy.
Oh, right. Canadian pharmacy.
Offering discount medicine. So,
fantastic. Yeah. And, of course, we're signing up to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and if anybody else would like that email from the Canadian pharmacist, email us and we'll forward that on. Now, we start the show with a dedication usually, and this week's no different. This dedication is to Australian Ryan McGowan, who plays over there in Scotland, and he scored in Hearts' win over crosstown rival Hibs in the Scottish Cup final. Quite a whitewash it was too. And
that's got to be the first Scottish final in...
Without the old firm.
Without the old firm, a long time.
Yeah. Well, we're talking Europe, and I know that, we do try and stay specifically to Australian football, but a big competition cometh, the European Cup, the Euro 2012. So the question this week, guys, is who are you looking forward to seeing in the Euros, either player or team?
Germany, hands down.
Nick Junior, Germany.
I'd really like to see Marco Reus get a run. The Mönchengladbach player going to Dortmund next season. But yeah, interesting to see how they go. Hopefully, they can win the tournament.
Are you putting everything that you own on this result?
I might put a fiver down on the Germans to win.
And as you're a uni student, that is pretty much everything.
It's close, yeah.
We'll lend you the extra $1.25 to make it up.
Anyone but England for me, I reckon.
Really?
England could be capable of some truly turgid football.
Yeah. Well, it could be interesting. They'll be strong defensively, I think. For the record, am really keen on seeing France go as far as they possibly can.
I'll be surprised. I'll bet you $5 France don't win.
Okay, you're on. $5 it is. All right, well, you are on the near post. We're talking football in Canberra and across the Australian Community Radio Network, and specifically Australian football. And we have the news, the Australian football news this week. Nick Senior, can you read us through the news?
Well, the off-season, thankfully, hasn't shown any signs of slackening off. Starting with the A-League, we've had the news that Ante Milicic, as predicted on this very show last week, has joined the new West Sydney football team, allegedly on a 4-year contract. The CAD on a...
Because he's essentially thrown the towel in Melbourne Heart?
He has. He's gone to be the assistant coach to his brother-in-law, Tony Popovich.
What could possibly go wrong? Family ties.
What could go wrong with that?
Yeah.
Apparently, Sydney FC, after a fairly quiet off-season player recruitment-wise, have firstly announced that they've signed ex-Newcastle Jets midfielder Ali Abbas on a two-year deal, but they're also talking about having a crack at signing Tom Roach, Canberra product, and very exciting young Central Coast Mariners midfielder.
Well, surely this is what Sydney FC do. They just simply target Central Coast and pick off their players, don't they? Nick Junior, you're a Central Coast player.
Yeah, it's definitely been a continuing trend for the past few seasons. I can't say they've gotten too many, but I'd really like to see us keep hold of Rogic. Hopefully, Graham Arnold staying would have been a deciding factor, but money's money.
Striker Archie Thompson has strengthened his case to be part of Australia's squad for 2014 World Cup qualifying after getting through the Melbourne Victory's 4-1 loss to Olympiacos on the weekend. Thompson and Victory teammate Harry Kuehl are the only A-League representatives in the Socceroos squad.
Is just getting through a game strengthening your case?
Well, it's proving he's fit. Which, to be honest, there's not a lot of the Socceroos squad playing at the moment, so it's fair enough. Unfortunately, we won't be seeing Aston Villa midfielder Chris Hurd in this upcoming round of Socceroos matches. Chris Hurd is out. Yeah. Unfortunately, he suffered another ankle injury and will be out for the next few weeks, as apparently Holger Osic was keen to have a look at him, but not to be the case for this round of matches.
For a young guy, he's suffering a lot of injuries.
Premier League's a long, tough season.
Still, it's pretty disconcerting to say that now that he's starting to play regular football and every time he gets a bit of a run going, he gets injured again. Hopefully he can shake those off next season, but it's not a good sign so far.
Well, at this rate, he'll be signed for Arsenal in no time.
Mm. Speaking of the English Premier League, there are rumours coming out of the UK that Tim Cahill could be the next big-name Australian to play in the Middle East, with rumours that Saudi club Al Nassr are targeting him for next season as Everton try and restock the transfer kitty.
That's an interesting one, because Everton are a club that need money.
Mm.
And Super Timmy is a big hero there, but they are in desperate need of money just to stay.
They are, and Super Timmy only had 3 goals this season.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because he was on the World game last night, and he said that he could probably play top-level football for the next 3 to 4 seasons. Now, at his age, I don't think that's entirely true, but I still think he's got a year or two left at Premier League quality. So I think it might be an interesting chance to resell now that they've got Nikita Jelovic to start scoring goals for him.
Hmm. Also in the EPL, exciting young striker Corey Gamero has re-signed with Fulham. Gamero was the youngest member of Australia's squad at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup last year and spent time on loan at Hayes and Yading during the 2011-12 season. Now, I've got to admit, I've never even heard of Hayes and Yading.
They're probably like a conference level, so just below League Two. But
A little bit below the EPL.
Yeah, but he's only just turned 18, I believe. So it's a pretty good start for being at a Premier League club's good as any.
Hmm.
Hopefully, he can continue his form.
Finishing off the news from overseas, younger Socceroo James Troisi is clubless but confident of resolving his future within the next 3 weeks after walking out of Turkish club Kayaspor.
Kayaspor.
Troisi, who scored 12 goals in the Turkish Superliga this season, has walked out of the club after not being paid for 5 months.
Was it 5 months?
5 months.
As you were starting that, I was thinking, oh, there's been a lot of walkouts, and certainly with Turkish clubs, and this isn't good, it doesn't reflect well in Australia. 5 months, he hasn't been paid. Yeah, I think I'd walk out.
Although, that's probably... I think that's his best season so far in the
Super League. It is, clearly.
So he can definitely move upwards from here.
Well, hopefully so, but hopefully it's to a club that pays the bills.
Playing time. Yeah, playing time and actually pays his wages on a regular basis. Now, thanks very much for that. That's the news. You're talking Australian football. We're on the near post. And you can catch our podcast and read some great articles and tidbits written by Eamon Flanagan on www.nearpost.blogspot.com. And this week on the Near Post, Eamon's written a couple of articles which are well worth getting across. Mm. One is his... Eamon being the timid fellow...
Articles or diatribes? I can never tell.
Yeah, I was going to say, being the timid fellow he is has thrown his opinion about. The first one is questioning whether Arnie has read Soconomics.
Mm.
Nick Jr., you're a big Central Coast fan, and Eamon's taken some umbrage with Arnie's selection process and certainly Arnie's future career moves. He thinks the Central Coast is too small for him and that the big clubs are the ones where... Well, Soconomics show that the big clubs are in the big cities, and Arnie is essentially penning himself in by not going anywhere other than the Central Coast.
Yeah, I don't care, as long as he's still on the Central Coast.
Right, so yes.
if he leaves, I hope we get a bit of a compensation for him, but if he's going to move out of contract, I don't think I'd be too happy.
Yeah, I don't think we should judge a guy too harshly for staying in a job where he's having success, he's getting paid well, he's got a stable organisation behind him. Yeah,
if he was moving to Melbourne, I might have been a bit more understanding, but moving to Sydney, where it's pretty much a shambles, very fickle supporter base as well, need to reshape the whole squad... I don't think it would have been the best move anyway.
Different CEO every other fortnight.
Well, get on the Near Post and have a read. Leave a comment, if you will. Yeah. The other little diatribe, did you say, Nick? The other little diatribe is... Eamon's had a go at Paul Sheehan from Sydney Morning Herald, just challenging him to write something positive on Australian football. So that's another week for him.
It's a long-standing... gripe, that one, and you can understand it, but most people have moved on. They really don't care about people who are fighting last century's battles.
Now, talking centuries, this particular century, Australia is in the, or has teams in the Asian Champions League, and specifically Adelaide United.
Hmm?
Adelaide United.
The unlikely standard bearer for the A-League.
They're the very definition of a flagship. They have topped the group after a 2-1 win over Gamba Osaka, who, admittedly, Gamba Osaka went into the game knowing they couldn't qualify. But, look, Adelaide continue to succeed in the Asian Champions League. I cannot write them off. They surely are a good chance as any to win this thing.
You'd think they're... maybe not to win the whole thing, but...
You don't think so?
I think they're pretty good to get through the next round.
I think the advantage that they have got is that the grand final, well, every leg, every stage is a two-legged tie.
Mm.
So as long as they can shot up shot away from home and then get a lucky counter attack at Hindmarsh, they've got a very good chance of winning it.
Yeah, you're talking the Pim Verbeek method.
Yeah, pretty much.
They've got a tough game in the round of 16, though. Nagoya Grampus are no... easy
yes,
beat opponents.
I'm very well aware of how good Nagoya Grampus are after last Tuesday. Mm. That was a disappointing match.
So Nagoya Grampus, what you're referring to is Nagoya Grampus played Central Coast Mariners?
Yep, last Tuesday. We needed a win to get through the group.
And what happened?
Nick? We got walloped. 3-0. It was very embarrassing.
What did happen? It was...
Well, we actually started all right.
I thought so as well.
But as is often the case for the Mariners, despite the fact that we were... playing out from the back very well. As soon as we got into the final third, we had no idea what we were doing. And then a bit of a softer free kick was given to us. However, Adam Kwasnik, being the girl that he is, jumped out of the way of the ball and it went straight into the net. And then it went down.
We're very strong supporters of women's football on this show. I don't think it's appropriate to call him a girl. Let's just call him a coward instead.
Okay. Adam Kwasnik, the coward that he is. jumped out of the way of the ball, and it went into the net. Matt Ryan was obviously very disappointed. He was also very disappointed with Josh Rose when he failed to track his runner, and the guy just chipped over the onrushing Matt Ryan for the second goal. Pretty much it was, I turned it off from there. I knew it was gone. So yeah.
Another case of disappointment, Brisbane Roar.
Another
such,
loss.
Such potential, such beautiful football in the A-League. Mm. They dominated apart from Central Coast. And yet on the Asian stage, they can't produce.
Bit of a reality check there.
They played some okay football.
Oh, they did. It was just that the teams that they were playing against had a very high technical standard. And when you're playing football that they do, you need to be at least on a similar level technically. It was a one-all draw, I think, against Beijing last week. They played some good football, but that equaliser from Beijing, that was a good shot. That was just arrowed into the top corner of the goal.
I'll be interested to see if Brisbane sort of refresh the squad for next year. They've already brought in Ben Halloran from Gold Coast, but I think they might need a bit more just to stop themselves getting a bit stale.
I'm quite enjoyed Vidicic's coaching and instruction. I think he's made the appropriate changes for the Champions League, but admittedly it is very difficult to get through that group. I'm really looking forward to next season to see how that translates onto the A-League stage.
So how do we think Adelaide are going to go next week?
Well, okay, so the Nagoya Grampus and Adelaide have never played each other. Mm. Adelaide are undefeated in their last three. Adelaide have also gone three matches without conceding a goal.
They have been very stingy in this AFC campaign.
Yeah. It'll be the fifth time Adelaide has hosted a team from Japan, and it's got a record of 3 wins, 0 draws, and 1 loss when hosting a Japanese team, so it's pretty good against Japanese
teams. Which has got to be by far the best record of any Australian team.
Yeah, that one loss, I think, was when they played Gamba Osaka in the AFC final a few years back. They lost 2-0 at home, I think, after losing 3-0 in the first leg. But I think it does speak volumes that after being destroyed by Gamba a few years ago, they've managed to beat them both times this campaign. I mean, Gamba's declined a lot, but I think that at home, with a full stadium hopefully behind them, they should be able to get a win.
Mm. And they do get good crowds, don't they? Yeah. They get decent crowds. And Van Dijk and Cassio, these sort of...
Van Dijk's been in great form. Yeah, he hasn't really started any of the games, but he's scored when he's come on.
These old Chargers are really coming to life in the Champions League, where they couldn't get anything out of them in the A-League. So, fantastic. Really looking forward to that game. That's on the 29th.
Yep.
So we'll have something to talk about next week.
We'll have an Adelaide victory to talk about next week.
That night.
A forthcoming Adelaide victory.
A forthcoming Adelaide victory.
I'm just going to assume that will happen. You're on the near post. We are assuming that all Australian football teams will be winning. We're bound for seasons of nothing but glory.
Of course.
And talking glory, really keen to talk about... We'll do a bit of a roundup on what's been happening in the A-League.
Well, I want to talk about the glory as well, because this is... it's quite a sad day.
You want to talk about the glory. Now, let me just settle back in, because I, for once in a long time, am very happy to talk the glory and very happy to talk their selection processes. What's going on? Why are they getting things right? They are getting things right, aren't they? They've got Michael Thwaite.
Well, they're trying to get things right.
They're trying to get things right. Yeah, they've recruited, in addition to Michael Thwaite, they've recruited 5 youngsters.
Like, yeah, two from the youth team, which is also incredible.
I didn't know that they were capable of purchasing players who were born even in the 1980s. It's incredible.
Is looking a little bit like it's a very clever move to have invested in all these older players, get them out the door, and now bring in these young players into a winning team.
I actually think it's a trend right across the A-League. They've seen that clubs have been successful investing in young Australian talent, and they don't have to be Einstein to notice that young Australian talent is a hell of a lot cheaper than paying for overpriced and injury-prone marquee players from overseas. I think there's a plus with the rise of Australian coaches. People are thinking, well, we can cut our expenses, improve the sustainability of the league, give young Australians a go, which people want to see, and produce good quality football.
This is the A-League I want to see. I want to see an A-League full of young players and with Australian coaches. I
want to see a smattering of overseas marquee players as well. Yeah, who doesn't want to watch a guy like Berisha or Flores? Yeah, they're sensational. Even Van Dijk's been a great servant for the game.
Yeah, but with all of those names have been names that really haven't got off the ground and quite literally haven't got off the ground. Robbie Fowler, Juninho.
When Marcus Jardel fell over Jardel. And created a sizable hole in the ground.
You know, that's for all of those good things, there's three or four major disappointments.
I know that, but I'm just greedy. I want the ones who are still contributing.
You're in favour of the marquee players. I'm actually not in favour.
As long as there's a proper selection process involved.
Yeah.
And I think, well, is this guy at a level of physical condition where he will play games? Is he going to fit into the system well enough to do well?
And he's not just a big name in a desperate attempt to prop up crowds.
Yeah, look, to be honest, the one thing that really does get my goat is the player that's signed for 6 to 8 games, you know, just a smattering of games. And that player essentially is selected to the team.
Like the Romario to Adelaide United.
Exactly, on the Romario Adelaide United on the basis that it's going to bring players in, that bring crowds in. And that to me is something I don't want to see.
Speaking of high-profile marquee players, what do we think of Mark Bosnich's suggestion that Michael Owen would be a good fit for the A-League?
Again, fits for my thing. I don't want to see him here. He's too old. He's injured. He's not the one. You're thinking a young whippet who can take anyone with speed. He's not that player anymore.
Yeah,
he'd still be fairly fast in the A-League, I would think.
He may well even be faster.
I know he hasn't played very many games for United this season, but he's been saying that he has been in pretty good physical shape. He just hasn't been selected. So,
and when he did play, his goals per minute were pretty solid. It wouldn't be the worst move in the world, as long as he's in
decent condition.
Shape. Yeah.
Okay, so is Bosnich on Michael Owen? Just looking around to...
I also think Michael Owen is absolutely no chance because there'll be more money for him in somewhere else in Asia, like either Russia, China, or the Middle East. You know, he's exactly the kind of...
A lot of people supported Liverpool, I think. Mm. Thailand could be a possibility.
Well, you know, this is where Robbie Fowler, I was going to say ended up, but certainly took a step through. Mm. Other teams in the A-League, Melbourne Heart, seem to have a bit of a struggle at the moment.
Yeah.
Well,
they were coming from a position of strength. They seem relatively stable.
Mm.
Now with the change of, the announcement of the coach, they're just having a bit of a shake-up. Is it a hiccup or is it the beginning of the end?
It's hard to say. Aloisi doesn't have a ton of experience, but they've chosen him as the coach. What is a big challenge for them. They've got to get more out of their imported players who were dreadful for them.
Yeah, Alex Terra, good in flashes, but really didn't produce enough at the final ball.
Has Alex Terra got what it takes? I can't even speak.
They released all their foreign players, I think.
Yeah, mate. The striker, Makon, he was a blunt instrument up front. Great athlete, couldn't score goals.
Is Carlos Hernandez a natural selection for Melbourne Heart now that he's out of Victory? His family's settled in Melbourne. I don't know much, but I assume that they're relatively happy. Who wouldn't be happy in Melbourne, Nick?
And well, exactly. I think he might actually be a half-decent fit for them because they've got a pretty young, energetic team and he could waddle up and down the middle of the pitch and score the odd screamer from a free kick and organise the play, and that might work out okay.
Yeah, you could play him centrally and have fast strikers off like Ali Babaj.
Mm. Well, they've always had a problem with that central role. Like they've got some very good wide players, but just having someone to marshal them in the middle. Like Fred's been pretty good, but he hasn't been on the field enough. I think Hernandez gives a bit more direction to the attack with experience.
Mm. Speaking of Ali Babaj, there's a story this week that there's an offer from Red Star Belgrade for him.
I had an uncle who once played for Red Star Belgrade.
I have my my brother's father-in-law.
You actually have a relative who played for Red Star Belgrade. So I'll have to give you that. That's a big club. That's a good move for him, I think.
Mm. Yeah, if he is going to get playing time, I'd suggest he would move on. But if then just be like, we're just going to leave you on the bench for three quarters of the season, I wouldn't suggest.
If they could pull off the Mustafa Rumini trick of
signing him and then loaning him back,
and keeping him for a season, that'd be ideal, I think.
That's a pretty good trick. I don't know how many times that trick gets pulled off, but it's working. It worked quite well for Central Coast Mariners.
Well, if the guy's going to get game time at a decent standard, then surely that's better for his development than slogging away for a reserves team.
Now, let's talk the two Sydney teams. West Sydney, has their name been decided yet?
No, not yet.
West Sydney Westies.
They're suggesting the next week or two, but that's what they also said a fortnight ago. So.
On their voting competition, the Wanderers was really? By far the most popular
Wandering
choice.
West Sydney City. So Wandering West Sydney City, they've essentially they're starting from a blank slate, so they're trying to pull their team together, and they have to do it very, very quickly.
Yeah, a lot of deals have been wrapped up in the first few weeks of the off season, so they're going to have to move quickly if they want to get a decent squad together.
Yeah, quite a few of the players that were linked to them have already signed with other clubs, like Michael Thwaite and Ali Abbas. So.
I think they made a great mistake in not pouncing on the Gold Coast players as they were heading out the door. That was a real move.
Yeah, James Brown's already been snapped up by Newcastle. Halloran's gone to Gold Coast. And I think Zach Anderson's come to us. And
in fact, it would have made more sense had the FFA stepped in and suggested that a large chunk of the Gold Coast players would have their careers continued in West Sydney. But, you know,
it's a tricky situation where FFA don't want to be seen of, you know, directing players to a particular club, like to have proper open competition between the teams. But yeah, they do need to. The talk is there'll be some big announcements soon. So
well,
hope so.
I think you're right. At the very least, that the FFA are not keen to be seen, and seem to be doing quite a good job of that.
Other than having Lyle Gorman as their executive chairman.
Hey. You're on the Near Post. Thank you very much for listening, guys. Been talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. Thank you to Nick Senior and Nick Junior. Nick Junior's off to a rave, I believe, and Nick Senior, you and I are going to our respective houses to
our
help people
children.
With babies. Yeah. And thank you very much. And if you're on the Near Post, guys,
get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get